Let her go. If she's by the roadside, I would have given her 10 bucks, but she's going nicely. She's carrying a child, no trouble, so that child has to eat. Now, I'm bringing an issue. Later on, I discovered, you know, I told that if you understand the precepts of God, David said, having understood your precepts, I was not ashamed when I encountered your commandments. When I understood these precepts, I now saw scriptures in the Bible. Things like the laws given to the children of Israel, that listen, you know, you don't harvest your field to the edges. Are you getting my point? You don't harvest your field to the edges. When you are harvesting, when you get to the edge of the field, you pull back, let that one stand. You keep on harvesting, get to the edge, you move back. Why? Those who don't have, that's the one they will eat. For the Israelites, if you are harvesting, are you getting my point? And something falls down, God said, don't pick it, it's against the law. And you're harvesting like this, you cut the corn, you're throwing it into a basket. Then one falls from the basket and lands on the floor. Against Jewish law, you don't bend down to pick it. And you don't go by a road twice. Anything you forget is forgotten. And God said, what am I doing like that? He said, those who don't have field, who don't have land, what will they eat? That's what they will eat. Are you getting my point? So I learned little principles like that. Once I went, then I used to drive this Jetta in town, and my wife was not using it that time, and all the tires went bad. So I bought 4 tires that they go. So when I got there, the guy who sold me tires said that, sir, these old tires, how much? That I should sell the tires to them. They were old tires. That's why I was changing them. But some people will still use them, right? So I told the guy, I don't want to die young. Say what? I said, I don't sell such things. There's one man near me. He's been eyeing these tires for a while. So the man said, I should sell the things. I said, of course I don't sell such things. You think I don't want to live long? I don't want to prosper. There's somebody near where I was living then who had been eyeing the tire for a while because he had an old taxi which couldn't move because he didn't have tires. So the tires I was rejecting, to him, they were still good. After all, you want to buy to sell to somebody. So I packed them, went and greeted him. Okay, good afternoon. I just brought you those my tires. Hey, see prayer. Now, I'm telling all these stories to let you know that it's not just about commandments. We just discover the character of God. And I've told you my own experiences that once I saw them, without anybody telling me things, I was changed on the spot. Are you getting my point? That's why, listen, don't ever argue against good things, even if you are not practicing them. Hear them. Believe them. If you can't operate them immediately, pray about them. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, I'm going to something. What God is doing is this. Little by little, it's not about obeying deliberately. It's just discovering how God is. It's just discovering how God is. The other day, my wife and I were discussing about treating other people. You know, there's something she was telling me about. She would tell this person, behave like this, behave like this. Why? Because this way you are behaving is not how God will want us to behave in treating other people. You may not find express commandments about it. Do you follow my point? But you just discover the character and the nature of God. Let me give you an example. Like Nigeria, the way it is right now. Listen, the problem in Nigeria, I've been telling you, God will solve it suddenly. You know, Nigeria's problem is not going to be solved gradually. Amen? God, you know, just wake up one day, solution by Monday. You slept on Sunday. There was no issue. Then Monday, bam. One man will just come and just wipe away the old brigade, you know, just change people's. You know, don't worry, God does things like that. But the major problem in Nigeria right now, listen to me, is selfishness, which is a manifestation of godlessness. It is. In Nigeria of today, nothing goes for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nobody understands. Now, he's paid to do the job. He does not understand that he's supposed to do the job because he's paid to do the job. He thinks you should still see him. You understand what I'm saying? And listen, if you grow up like that in the country, you are not righteous enough to overcome it naturally. What just simply happens to you is that as the word of God is coming, you discover that, listen, this is not how God wants you to live. Now, I'm bringing out something here. The reason God destroys people, I said to us a few weeks, days ago, why God would destroy a whole nation is a very righteous judge. It's usually because he does not see enough righteous people. They are so critically few in number. And when you read it those days, just assume that, is it possible for everybody to be bad? Believe me, the answer is yes. You can go to a whole community of, you know, a quarter of a state, and they're all wicked people. God says everybody in this place is wicked. A stranger can't sleep here at night. They will rob him to pieces. And they're all like that. God, you know, we go to a state, God says, see, everybody in this state, every single person is corrupt, is wicked. That is, one day I will rain fire and brimstone on them. Because everybody is bad. I'm bringing out something. Before God can pour his glory on anybody there, he must be different. He must be different. He must be different. He must reason differently. Are you getting my point? Yes. He must operate by different precepts, different principles. He will get a bad name. It's crucial. In your office, you should have a bad name. You know, my bad name now. Bad name in that. Don't mind that guy. He will spoil the deal. They should start doing deals behind your back. It's good testimony. When you enter, everybody will keep quiet. They want to cheat you. That's why they keep keeping quiet. You understand my point? Because if you know, you will spoil the deal. People must know that you are not motivated. No, you're not trying to show off, because that's one problem. Again, people say, yes, pastor say people must know. So when you go to work, praise the Lord. If you are sharing money, don't call me. Don't call me. Don't call me. You just want to show off. No, no, no. I mean, because of the nature you have, after all, people just know that this guy is different. Don't worry, in that area. One day, this was years ago. I just came to Enugu then. I was heading my department. They had to supply something. So the guy came and said that, okay, how much should he put for me? And I told him, me? More. More. In my mind. You think God, I'm just looking for what God should use to punish me, Abby. Yeah, we come, let me tempt the Lord my God. God, let me see whether I can forgive this sin. Yeah, what I was saying. I look at the guy, say, no, nothing. What do you mean? When he told, because he was on the errands for his father. When he told his father, that, his father like, what do you mean? No, talk to him now. There must be, tell him simply, sorry, don't worry about me. If you guys like, between you and some other people, defraud the establishment, it's a pity I can't do anything about it, but I ain't taking one naira from you. He called me a few months ago. He's not living in UK. He laughed at me and said, man, this guy, you're very strange. Yes, I have never seen such types. I mean, the other day, these are not serious. This is not a serious testimony. If you hear, is it a serious testimony? Forget nothing. I'm just trying to tell you, use illustrations. The other day, we had to buy an equipment for my office. One drug company gave us the money. So they gave me the money directly, like, okay, take the money, hold it. I said, give it to the other guy. I said, no, we have talked to him. He said, we should give you. Anyway, they paid the money into my account. So we have to buy something. So I sent one of my guys to buy one. So have you collected our receipt? He said, okay, no, he hasn't. That the guy asked him that, how much should he write? I didn't know if you see these such things. Yeah. So he told him, he said, no, Malga, please, just write the amount of money we gave you. Well, he now came to report to him that the man was asking him that, how much should he write? I just laughed to myself. I said, oh, people still do such things. I thought this is, they are still doing it. I mean, now, why am I saying all of these things? You know what God is doing? As you move around, like, just I'm just telling you, there are Christians who don't know that these things are wrong. But as you're just saying it, God is just transforming people's hearts. Listen to me. Until he transforms you, makes you different from the people around you, his glory will not manifest in your life around them. No, he can't. I've spoken a lot. Let me try and get back to the main thing I was saying. So what God is doing, listen, is this. He's building up a dwelling place for himself by all these things. He's building up a dwelling place for himself on the earth by this transformation of your heart by his precepts. He's building up a place to dwell. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? Remember I said somewhere along the line, all right, that he builds the heaven to dwell in it for this dispensation. If he created the heavens and the earth, he was staying somewhere before. If he's planning to wipe away the heavens and the earth, is he going to wipe himself away with it? That means he will step out of it and clean them out. In the same manner, he's creating where to dwell on the earth The only building blocks he uses, this is the point, is they are the words that he speaks into your life. I said that we're not struggling to obey the words. No. When the words become part of us, obedience is automatic. Did you hear what I said? When the word becomes a part of you, obedience is automatic. So we said, this is the only way Christians really see glory, see success. The word becoming flesh. And there are two stages to that word becoming flesh. Number one, God is building you as an individual up with these words, with this transformation of character, which the word comes, it just changes you. You're not trying to obey. Then once that is done, then next line, he drops into you, let me use this expression, the spirit of glory. Let me say it again. When God has built you up, he pours into your life the spirit of glory. What do I mean by spirit of glory? I like to, you know, Jesus used to give example with the farmer. So, this modern day, we don't farm much, but we do a lot of business. So, let's use as an example. What do I mean by spirit of glory? Today, my wife and I were discussing. I just asked some things on how people can become very rich. In summary, let me just use Joseph as an example. Imagine that the spirit with which Joseph prepared for the famine, God gave it to somebody before the bank crisis in Nigeria began and he knew they were coming. I don't know whether I get my point. The guy would have made 500 million naira without an issue, just by knowing. God gives a man discernment. He suddenly starts seeing things that nobody else is seeing. I was listening to a testimony where I think it was one pastor was preaching about how, you know this magnetic ink recognition checks, these checks you use. Before, only one company was printing in Nigeria, Minting and Printing Corporation of Nigeria. Then one young man had the idea that he became the first non-Minting and Printing Corporation person to be doing it. So every bank just queued at his doorsteps. Listen, there are so many ideas like that. Are you getting my point? That's waiting. Waiting for you to be built up to receive that spirit of glory. I don't know what I hear what I said. See, what God is doing, I told you, is simple. That's what is called grace. He's just building you up by the word. I said, life has two spheres. You can tell me the story. That's how I have to start with it. Some people start telling you the story of one criminal who made 100 billion. I don't know what the devil is trying to do in his life. I don't care. And money is called the mammon of unrighteousness. That is, he has no character. Satan can give a man 100 trillion naira. I know God is not moved. I told you before, Satan came to Jesus and said, if you bow before me, I will make you very rich. And you'll become the richest man in the world. That's what he said. Look at the kingdoms of the world and the glories thereof. I can give to whosoever I wish. There are those who operate by that realm. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. For us, money is not an object. Are you getting my point? It's a tool. If God brings it for us to do what we are supposed to do, fine. We are talking about developing the godly tabernacle on the earth that God might dwell in it. And when he pours his spirit of glory, you know, as a preacher, you know I'm a preacher. I discovered that there's a spirit of glory that God gives to a preacher. I told you something earlier. Anyway, let me not even go into that now. All right, we'll get back to that when we're talking about the issue of the appointed time. Listen, God, this is so crucial. Hey. A preacher can make people do anything. Do you know that? You remember the story of the man who stole how many millions from his company and gave as offering? People say, what happened to him? I said, Paul said, who has bewitched you? Preachers can bewitch people. I mean, ask yourself, why will a married woman go to the presence of a preacher and strip naked? They do it. They do. Christians are very powerful. It's not, it has nothing to do whether they are good or bad. This is just the job. You understand my point? Once the guy is a preacher, he can make people do things. Jim Jones killed how many multitudes? Told them to drink it is from God. They all drank poison and died. Preachers are very powerful. They are very powerful people. Look, that's why James said, well, if they give you the job of a preacher, run. Because as God gives them power, so he gives them double judgment. When God wanted to punish Jeroboam, he punished Jeroboam for the sin he committed and the one he made Israel to commit. When he wants to punish preachers, he punishes them for the sins they commit and the one they made the congregation commit. Now, I'm giving an example now, alright? So God knows this. Before he drops this kind of glory, the spirit of glory, like I'm telling you about earlier, upon them, he has to be sure of what the fellow will do when he's given the power. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the job, listen, I think is forget all this time of Father God. When we pray until your anointing comes, I have discovered, God, if we pray until your anointing comes by force, we may die in the process. So what we are going to do is that we pray until we have the capacity to receive the anointing. And if you want to bring it that time, we'll gladly receive it. Because if God makes you a king before you are ready to be king, you'll die like Saul. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. What am I explaining? In every sphere of life, there is a spirit of glory which God wants to pour. And I told you last Saturday, I believe very strongly that God wants to pour it soon. In practical terms now, in a nation like Nigeria, not only here, and maybe starting from Africa, and he's telling everybody, go and tell your pastor, warn everybody, that God said, listen, I need to get my people ready. So from now, anybody that uses my pulpit for any other purpose than building up my people to become lively temples, living temples that I can dwell in, I'll have to deal with that fellow. Because without it, I cannot. Listen, if I don't build the people up, I can't pour my spirit of glory into them. You are getting what I'm saying? You are getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's how the world works. What God simply does is that once he has built you, not by obeying rules. Rules are good. They have their place. But that's not what he's trying to do. All right? What he's doing is that he's just building somebody. You know, I said something the other day that a cheerful giver is not a man who is giving. A cheerful giver is a cheerful giver, therefore he gives cheerfully. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, I say a doer is not a doer because he does. But he does because he's a doer. It is that transformation of individuals by the word of God that God is going out for. And once he has achieved that, listen to me. You know, God told the children of Israel, I made you hungry, then I fed you with manna. Amen? You know that story? When you have to pray for money before you get it, you are not blessed yet. I didn't say you are cursed to. I just said your blessing never show. You are still in what? Training. You are still in the wilderness. God is trying to show you that the word works. Amen? Because when it starts working, you won't notice it's working. It will work so much, you won't notice that's what is working. He said, that's why he said, thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Because the people were going to prosper so much, they will easily forget. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will pour grace upon you so much that money will never be a prayer point in your life again. Your prayer will be, let us assume, God just carries you now and dashes you, MTN and Mobi producing Nigeria combined. Say, it's yours, take. You know, you have a new set of problems now. Your prayer point will be, we are going to see the president of Ghana next week. Brethren, pray for favor. Let me tell you again, a time will come that will no longer be a prayer point. It will not be a problem because the people are the ones phoning you and asking for your favor. Those are levels of grace that make men mental if they are not careful. Yes. They want to raise their seats to the high throne, to the, you know, to the high heavens and be like the Most High. Now, I'm explaining something. But so the first thing that God does is that all this experience of life, say school fees is next week. Brother, let us pray. School fees. Amen. It's good. You need to pray it now. Then God will show, sure, 1 hour before it is due. And you say, amen. I knew the Lord was going to turn up. Hallelujah. And Lord said, I know, oh boy, you're still in the wilderness. I'm teaching you. You know, I've told you before, enjoy the season of life. There are prayers you won't have the privilege to pray again. After a while, when they want to say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, the car we are saving God, saving up for, may they not devalue the naira so that the price won't go up. You know, those are prayers that will end soon in your life. You will start solving problems by, should we buy a Jeep or buy a car? I say, buy the two of them. We'll think about it later. That this thinking process is exerting my mental energy. If I use this energy on business, it will make a billion naira. So why should I use it on a car that's only 15 million? Please buy the two of them. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's the kind of grace God wants to pour, but into people that must not go mental. So what does he do? First, he builds them up. They have to let him do that. And what I'm saying is that once they are built up, he said, how does he say it again? Isaiah chapter 40. Raise up the valleys, bring down the mountains, prepare a smooth way for God, and the glory of God will be revealed. They don't beg God's glory to be revealed when it's ready to come. Once we have removed the obstructions, that's why we've been teaching about the centrality of the Word of God. We have built ourselves into tabernacles that God can dwell in. Then you know what the next thing that happens? I mean, this is a very good place to stop. We'll go to the next thing. The next thing that happens is simple. Suddenly you fit. How do I say this? There are two sides to life. There's what God is doing in your life, and there's what God is doing on the earth. I've been looking for somebody that has prophetic insight to tell me what's going on in Arab countries. That thing is not a joke. God is doing something. I just don't know what. God is doing something. I just don't know what. I have my own personal idea about it. But my personal idea doesn't seem to fit what is going on. But I know it will soon come down to what I'm saying, that I'm thinking. I believe it very strongly. Alright? But I'm not discussing it now. But I'm just saying that there are two spheres to life. There's what God is doing in your life, and there's what He's doing on the earth. Now, He prepares you. Then when you think you're done, He's done with you, then now puts you into your own place in what He's doing on the earth. And this is the issue. This is where we are going to. The doctrine of the appointed time. Open your Bible to Psalm 75. God created these heavens and this earth to demonstrate something. And He plotted parts for each person to play. Are you getting my point? And in all the works, or in all the word that He's been sending into your life, and all the work you have been working with Him, is to bring you to the place, like I said, where you will receive the Spirit of His glory. So you can play your part in what He's doing on the earth. And the thing He's doing on the earth is in seasons, which are just in His hands. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said something last time. Some people think they know the principles of guarding large crowd in churches. They think Yonggi Cho has a special key for having a church of 1 million people. I have discovered that it's not so. There are times and there are what? Seasons. There are. And God prepared Yonggi Cho for the time and the season in which a million people will come to one single assembly. Do you get my point? There is what he wants to do in Nigeria, in Africa, in the world. This is the interesting part. I don't know exactly what. But one thing I'm setting off is that I was prepared and I'm being prepared for the part I will play. You get what I'm saying? In what he has planned to do, which I cannot force. Listen, it's not about forcing it to come. I don't even know what it is. Times and seasons are in his hand. Are you getting my point? He's preparing you also. He has been working on you so that you will be properly prepared to fulfill your own part for him in the things he planned beforehand. God planned, please try and get what I'm saying. God is not wicked, amen? Yeah, so please don't misunderstand me. But see all the troubles of this earth, on this earth right now, they are part of a divine agenda to end troubles forever. I don't know whether I hear what I say. Yes, they are. God says something clearly. He said, the man who makes the weapons of war, I made him. I don't know whether I get my point. Isaiah 54. Including the weapon he's making. So if I say no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper, that's what God was trying to explain. He said, I made him so I can tell you that whatever he makes against you will not prosper. What I'm saying, all the bombers, all the troublemakers that even came down to Niger State the other day, God knew, God made all of them, not knew them, he made them. And their bombing will prosper for a season. Until the season that God determined it should come to an end will come. And I'm bringing in a point out to you that that season was determined long ago. Listen, you cannot raise up a prayer before God to execute that which he never planned to do. The burdens we have in our hearts, all right, for this nation is a reflection of what God plans to do. And having a burden and praying accordingly is part of our fulfilling our part in the fulfillment of God's agenda. Listen, when the Bible said, you will have mercy on Zion because the set time, the appointed time to favor her has come. That thing is, of course, it's scripture. I was going to say it's very scriptural, but it's scripture. Are you getting my point? But it's real. There is a time that God set to favor a country like this. So men who prayed 50 years ago could not even make it happen faster because God has an agenda. Oh my God. There are things he must eradicate from the surface of this earth. I don't want to mention names now. You know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have insight. And it is crucial that Nigeria goes through this path that it has gone through, so that from here God will raise a kind of vengeance up. I don't know what I am. I hope you are. Anyway, let me leave that one there. Next week we'll start talking about it. God's appointed time. Listen, Africa is very backward, amen? Physically speaking. There are some people analyzing it. With all the population we have, we generate, I think, is it about 5% of the SGDP. One stupid amount. We are the richest in natural resources. We are one of the most populous continents. But we generate, I think, like 5 or 7% of the GDP of the earth. It used to annoy me before. It doesn't annoy me anymore. Used to annoy me before. I want to write a small article, not Christian article, on 20 ways by which we waste resources in Nigeria. It's a black man's problem. When I finish writing it, you will laugh. One of them is impatience at junctions. Yeah. It costs us in Enugu a few millions of naira every day. If you check the amount of man hours wasted by just because there's nothing wrong with just the traffic warden went to take lunch. And nobody moves until he comes back. It's a black, listen, it's a black man's problem. It's a black man's problem. If Enugu was a white man's city, we don't have enough cars to cause traffic jam. We don't have. No, I'm serious about it. We don't. How many cars do we have? Just by observing stop sign. There will never be. These traffic lights in Enugu are not necessary. We don't have enough cars for traffic lights. You've noticed yourself that when it says red, sometimes the whole road is empty. How many cars do we have? Well, black man has a way of just destroying everything. He has a Chinese man's mentality in spoiling things. You know, Chinese man has a way of making things bad, even if you show you how to do it well. So why should we put wire here? Put grass. See, we're born after 2 days. Now, what am I trying to say? See, all the problems of Africa, it doesn't worry me anymore. I realize that it's until an appointed time. And why do I believe that the appointed time to end it has come? It's simple. It's because of the depth of the gospel that we are producing from here and the anger that has been generated inside us with which we are praying against something. It is only because the set time has come. And when God's set time comes, the first thing he does is to produce people that he will use in his appointed season. Let me tell you the truth. If God produced you before your appointed season, he will send you to, that is, before Africa's appointed season, he will remove you and go and keep you somewhere. What am I saying? In God's appointed time, he locates his vessels and he puts them in right places. And I believe very strongly, all right? I just believe it. Let's talk about our country, Nigeria. The appointed time to favor her has come. Did I hear an amen? Amen. So what God is waiting for now simply is for men who can receive the spirit of glory so he can put them in the proper places. Then you come back in a few years' time. You will look and say, is this Nigeria too? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, God created this. Next week I'll begin to talk about it. He created this heaven and this earth to demonstrate something. Let me just give you one straight. He wants all creation to know that without the power of Christ, Africa will produce again and again and again and again and again. You understand? You see people will have natural resources, potential ability, but never go anywhere. You don't know how far behind we are as a continent. You don't. You think you do. No, you think you do. In fact, I believe that the average leaders we have, they don't have an idea. They don't. Let me not go into politics now. They don't have an idea. If they had an idea, they won't steal money again. They think because they have cars, we are close to the other people. If you know how far back we are, you'll start crying as you're going home. But that, you see, like I told you, I know they vex again. Amen? No, I know they vex again. For me now, what I have come to understand, you understand what I'm saying this in a moment, appointed time. All right? In God's appointed season. Now, who's as low down, now please, listen to me. Who is as low down socially and economically speaking right now as Joseph was in jail? Anybody here? No, forget it. If you are here, you wouldn't have been here. You would have been in jail. Do you get my point? That you are here shows you are not that bad. Yet overnight he became prime minister. I don't know what I heard. I said, you can become local government chairman, senator any day. You didn't hear me. Hey, you listen, listen. What I'm saying is that there's a spirit of glory that can lift you from that place where you are right now. Not because, you know, we have already dispensed of vain glory. You understand? We are not going to office to go and make money. Are you? No, you decrease. No, you don't decrease. Amen. You are going to demonstrate God's favor in the appointed season. So this is what God is going to do. When the day comes, because the appointed time to favor her has come, then he looks for Joseph wherever he is. If Joseph is prepared to receive that spirit of glory, he puts him on any throne, anytime. Because I wanted to read Psalm 75, but we don't have time there. God said in verse 2, when I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. Now, just jump. He now said in verse 4, I said to the boastful, do not boast. I said to PDP, you don't have the power. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said to the wicked, all those who are plotting to rig elections, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high and do not speak with insolent pride just because you have been in power for a long time. He said, why? Verse 6. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south comes exaltation. But God is the judge. Listen, he started from verse 2. When I select an appointed time, at that time I will show people that promotion does not come from joining any political party. But God is judge. I don't know whether you heard me. Listen, what the word of God has been doing is to build you up to receive his spirit of glory so that in the appointed time to favor people, you will be useful for him. Those who want to lose out are the ones that get tired quickly of working with God. This thing is not producing. And that's because, you know, I told you before, that's why I don't want to preach the gospel of give and you shall get quickly. I'm not here to teach you how to be rich. Amen? I'm not here to teach you how to be happy, self. I'm here to teach you how to do the will of God. If the will of God means locust and wild honey with goat skin, may that be your portion, amen? If it's an if, in case you're afraid to say amen. Yes. I mean, who does not want that kind of prophetic anointing that the whole nation will be shaking? What I've said is that God, by his word, is building you up as a tabernacle that God can dwell in on the earth. And once he has reached that critical point, he drops into you what I call the spirit of glory. So that, like Joseph, you can turn the whole nation around. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Just one idea. And God, by that time, will put you in a position you did not know you could ever get to. And I said that is because the appointed time, the season that he set to do something crucial and critical on the earth, that's because that time has come. Are you getting my point? And our job, your job and mine, which we have all been cooperating to do all this while, is to just ensure that we, all right, are the dwelling places that God wants on the earth. David said that, I said, I will not give my eye rest until I have built a house, a dwelling place for my God on this earth. And you know that dwelling place is not bricks and mortar right now. You know that. You know that. If you know that, say amen.
Amen.
What is that dwelling place? It's the heart of man. So you are not allowed to give yourself rest until you have become God's dwelling place on the earth. And like I said, many things that are prayer points to you now, at that time you will forget that people can pray about them. Because the time that God wants to use you in his appointed time will have come.